Hello and welcome back to another episode of Brick House, breaking down the NBA season coming up, breaking it down way too early too. Got a couple of months until the season starts, but we don't care. We want to get started early. We got number 21, 21st best team for the 2015-2016 season preview.
I like how you keep it positive, not by saying the 10th worst team.
I get confused. I'm not supposed to. I don't know what's the appropriate thing. You know.
Sure. We'll say. In today's age, where everyone gets a trophy, we'll give them 21st best team.
21st best.
You did it. You're 21st best.
And who are they? Well, I'll tell you who I am. I'm Bob Johnson. Oh, and I'm joined by Matt Baker here today.
Hey.
And we're talking, of course, about the Portland Trail Blazers. The only professional team in the great state of Oregon.
You lived there for a time, right?
I lived in Eugene, Oregon. Mm-hmm. That's right, for a little over a year. Liked it a lot. Portland, I always say, it looks as clean as like a movie set. It doesn't even seem like a real city. It's so nice. Although, of course, they do have a lot of rain, which makes it look so nice, you know, in the summertime. It keeps everything nice and green. Very pretty city.
The dream of the 90s is alive in Portland.
Right. I think that usually the Portland Trailblazers lineup consists of about 75% of the black people in the state of Portland, in the city.
Yeah.
But this year, as we said in the preview on last week's edition, last episode, they're bringing back a total of one of their starting five this year. We'll get to that a little bit later, but the one guy who's back, the reason I bring it up, he reminds me of another fictional character that we'll get to.
A fictional character.
He's a popular fictional character. Damian Lillard reminds me of Walter White towards the end of Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
I say that because at the end of Breaking Bad, Walter White has all the money he could ever want. Damian Lillard just signed a new $120 million max contract with Portland. And he looks around and he's all alone. He's surrounded by nothing but Nazis. I'm not calling the people of Portland Nazis, but Walter White. He doesn't have any of the people he cares about. He's got all this money, but he lost Aldridge, he lost Lopez, he lost Batum and Matthews. And he's just got coordinates where he's keeping his stash.
Previously on the Portland Trailblazers.
Like we said, they were a playoff team. They knocked my beloved Rockets out of the playoffs just 2 years ago with a miraculous buzzer beater by Walter White. I mean Damian Lillard.
Oh, man, that was a huge Portland basketball moment.
In fact, there's been two buzzer beaters from Portland beating the Rockets that became ads for the NBA for the whole next season. There was a shot that Brandon Roy hit, a three-pointer to beat the Rockets, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. I don't even think it was in the playoffs, but it's just this miraculous shot in Portland, you know, and as the ball goes through the net, every single person in the building stands on their feet and cheers, you know. And it was a tough loss watching as a Rockets fan, but then it was even tougher throughout all next year, where every ad for the NBA involved that shot, you know?
You're like, we get it.
But it was even worse because Damian Lillard's shot was game six in Portland and a deciding game that sent Portland to the second round of the playoffs that year. And it was
immediately got trounced by the Spurs.
Destroyed by the Spurs. Yeah, the play right before that, too, Chandler Parsons had made this, I still remember, this great baseline drive, you know, reverse hanging backwards layup, and left less than 2 seconds to go. So if Lillard wouldn't have made that shot, that would have been the ad for the NBA that year, is, you know, Chandler Parsons making this great game-winning shot. But in fact, he was in that replay of the game-winning shot while Lillard is shooting over his outstretched arms, a little too late. So yeah, they've lost everybody this past year. They lost to the Grizzlies in the first round rather easily, and broke up the team.
So you mentioned Brandon Roy. They I think this past year they finally got a good point in their team because, you know, they had to deal with Brandon Roy, who was a great player when he was healthy, getting injured. Greg Oden, obviously, just never, nothing came of him.
Greg Oden is Sam Bowie 2 as far as the Portland Trail Blazers fans are concerned.
Yeah, so it took them a while. They made the playoffs a few times around in 2009, 2010, 2011, but they still were kind of the franchise that had come off a few, I don't know if you can call Roy a failure injury-wise, but just a few draft disappointments. So they finally got to a point where they had this good young nucleus, and they looked like they were ready to build off that. Yeah, and then I don't think Aldridge even considered going back there.
They got that sixth pick in the draft by trading Gerald Wallace to the Brooklyn Nets. That's how they ended up getting Damian Lillard, because they were too good of a team to get such a high draft pick.
That's true.
It ended up being Rookie of the Year. Thanks, Brooklyn.
Yeah, so they...
For taking Gerald Wallace. they would have given him away for free.
We didn't even mention that in the Nets, the Nets thing. That would have been another thing to add to it.
From the top down on Brick House, and it's pretty perfect that the Blazers are right next to the Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets preview, we sort of explained how Mikhail Prokhorov is like a Bond villain, super Russian villain owner in the NBA. Paul Allen is pretty much the exact opposite. If there's any reason that all these free agents left Portland, it's probably not because they didn't like their owner, Paul Allen. Paul is the co-founder of Microsoft. Maybe you've heard of that company before. He bought the Blazers in 1988 for $70 million, most recently valued by Forbes at $940 million, which would rank them 12 of 30 NBA teams. But my gosh, Matt, you know, I've been researching the resume, essentially, of these billionaires.
Yeah.
And Paul Allen, the reason I say he's the opposite of a supervillain is he seems to donate and give money to pretty much every good cause you can imagine. Some causes I hadn't even imagined before, and he's given hundreds of millions of dollars to it.
He has so much money, he can't give it away fast enough.
He has, let me just give just the tip of the iceberg of Paul Allen's contributions. He has his own Paul Allen Brain Institute for studies of the brain.
I like that.
He has many institutes, an Institute of AI, Artificial Intelligence,
right.
Cellular Science Institute. He's a big donator to the SETI radio telescopes for, communicating with extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
He's donated to universities. Most universities that he's donated to, they are the largest personal donations ever received by that university. Since 82, when he left Microsoft, he's been investing, doing a combination of investing and philanthropy. And a lot of his investments are a form of philanthropy. By that, I mean, you know, he's invested heavily in power grids in Africa, wireless broadband in Africa. You know, like we give $10 through a text message to the Red Cross.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's Paul Allen giving $100 million to Ebola, UNICEF, Red Cross, you name it. He has many museums and art galleries. He has the Flying Heritage Museum, which is dedicated just to restoring and displaying World War II airplanes. He owns 3 mega yachts that he likes to entertain and travel around on, and is in part of owns a few companies that are designed just for barrier reef restoration. He has a group that created just to make sure that restaurants serve sustainable fish. There's 60 some restaurants in the Seattle area that are a part of this. In addition to owning the Portland Trail Blazers, he owns the Seattle Seahawks.
Super Bowl champions.
Super Bowl losers most recently on the goal line, but pretty close. He also may end up being the first person to personally fund a space program that enters friggin' outer space, Matt. He's been funding his own space flight. Paul Allen.
Yeah. He owns the Seattle Sounders, the MLS team who is one of the more popular and like rabid fan base.
Is that
MLS
right?
Teams, yeah.
I'm not surprised with the way those Seahawks fans are. But yeah, you could go on and on about Paul Allen. And up until this summer, his Blazers team was really good too. But I expect they will bounce back. You know, it's too bad LaMarcus Aldridge didn't want to be an astronaut. He probably would have stayed.
Yeah, if LaMarcus wanted to be an astronaut and cared about Barrier Reef reconstruction, yeah, he just doesn't care about communicating with other life forms or artificial intelligence.
He prefers a no shellfish diet.
Yeah, he doesn't like mega yachts.
And now, the starting lineup for your Portland Trailblazers!
If there's only one guy coming back on the starting lineup, who is playing for this team this year? We mentioned the Nicholas Batum trade, and you really like that trade. You were telling us about it when we broke down Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, I guess Gerald Henderson and Batum are kind of a wash as far as stats.
Yeah, shooters.
But
shooters.
Yeah, but if the Hornets kind of felt stagnant with Gerald Henderson, and they didn't really know what to do with Noah Vonleh because he wasn't a white kid from North Carolina, then I guess Batum is a little taller, so they kind of lose out on the height. But
a lot more French.
Yeah, he is. So they traded Batum and got back Gerald Henderson, Noah Vonleh, which for some reason the depth chart I'm looking at says that Ed Davis would start at power forward over Noah Vonleh.
I'd see that.
Yeah, but I would throw Noah Vonleh in there.
Oh, yeah. Matt of the mindset. If you're going to lose, get some reps on those young legs.
Well, because Noah Vonleh didn't play at all last year for the Hornets. What he played? He played in a handful of games for a little bit. So he's going to need to play at some point. Gerald Henderson and CJ McCollum are at shooting guard. McCollum is just a shooter. They have that nice, solid rotation of Mason Plumlee and Myers Leonard now.
Oh, boy. And Chris Kamen.
At Chris Kamen.
Three-headed white monster.
Yeah. Well, one of them actually looks like a monster in Chris Kamen.
he's the Hodor of the NBA.
Yeah. So, so recently, Neil O'Shea, we were just talking about this, was on another podcast, a more famous podcast, Zach Lowe's podcast, talking about the Al-Farouq Aminu signing.
Shots fired with that more famous stuff there, Matt.
Shots, personal shots fired.
That hurts.
Yeah, sorry. One day we'll be more famous. He was talking about like 4 years, $30 million. That contract got kind of panned, and they thought it was a weird contract.
Oh, the Aminu contract.
Yeah, Al-Farouq Aminu. So a little over $7.5 million. But O'Shea said he's familiar with him from drafting him when he was with
the Clippers, right?
And he said in 2 years, when the salary cap skyrockets, Aminu will have 2 years left at $15 million, which will look pretty cheap. I think a lot of people forget this, is Aminu's only 24 years old.
Wow, yeah.
So he still fits the Matt Baker requirement of being young.
He had one of my favorite draft day quotes. I don't know if you remember, but
he had a crazy outfit.
Yeah, he had a crazy outfit. And the year that they got drafted, they had, as soon as they walked off the stage, they had someone interviewing. I forget who the ESPN person was, but they were asking him the same questions, asking all the lottery picks at least.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, what's the first thing you're going to buy? You know, mm-hmm. And every player before him, it was either a car or a house or a house for their mom. Standard stuff.
Right.
Al-Farouq Aminu, what are you going to buy now that you're the eighth or ninth pick of the draft? He says, I think I'm going to get me one of them 3D TVs. Always like that.
Yeah.
I was like, I got to watch this kid.
That's a very honest, childlike response. I like it.
3D TVs and a big bag of weed. Welcome to L.A.
Oh, yeah. That is the L.A. thing. What I do like about the Blazers, I'm becoming very transparent, I guess. But they gave money to Lillard, obviously. But they didn't go out and they didn't throw a bunch of money at like a random free agent. They didn't throw $10 million a year, $12 million a year at someone. They signed Ed Davis for...
Well, like we've said before, the 76ers are the only team really that is completely transparent or open about tanking or about not being great. And I think, you know, despite the political correctness of the Neil O'Shea interview, that he's got to think Myers Leonard and El-Farouq Aminu and Gerald Henderson, Ed Davis in the starting lineup, this team is not going to be competing. And, you know, throwing $100 million at Inez Kanter, Tristan Thompson probably wasn't going to, you know, propel them from 11th or 12th in the West to any sort of competitive spot.
I like that, though.
Record prediction.
This team, I have them falling more games than any other team. You know, at Brickhouse, we like the predictability of the NBA. And from year to year, teams pretty much don't change that often, you know, unless you're getting LeBron James.
right. Well, they won 51 games last year. Yeah. So they're obviously not going to come close to that.
Right.
This is not a 51-win team.
I considered putting them at about half that many wins, but might have been overcompensating. I got my prediction for this upcoming season is they finish 35 wins, 47 losses.
Yeah.
That's 16 games less than last year.
Wow, that is a whole bunch.
What do you think, Matt? 35 games, too much or too few wins for you?
Oh, I would say 34. I'll say 34. I'll go even a one less than you.
Oh, your price is riding me.
Yeah. One win. They're going to have one.
What the fuck has anything got to do with LeBron James?
How can we force a LeBron James mentioned into the Portland Trail Blazers podcast? He sold his house this week. Sold his house in Miami.
Wow.
The LeBron James Miami Florida era is officially over.
What an era it was.
He bought this house for $9 million, sold it for $13.4. The rich get richer, and that's LeBron James mentioned.
Who bought it? Do we know?
Some realtors.
They just like
Tim and Tammy Tuna. No, I don't remember what their name was.
They all went in on it together?
Yeah.
Just a bunch of realtors?
Finds out when a bunch of realtors living in LeBron James' house stop being polite.
That is a great
It was Alonzo Mourning's house, actually, before it was LeBron's house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently.
And now it's time for a personal anecdote with Matt Baker.
You know, on Brick House, we like to talk about NBA. We also like to talk about our co-host, Matt Baker. We want to get to know him through these previews. And last episode, he told us about a scam where he bought some Beckett magazines from a young boy who promised a magazine subscription.
Promised me the world.
All he got was he left holding a receipt,
mm-hmm.
and no way to contact this boy.
Yeah.
Well, to turn it around, you know, we were describing the philanthropy of Paul Allen, and I wanted to know, Matt, what's your best like Good Samaritan story out there
that I did? Or that was done to me?
Either way, who is the Samaritan that was good?
You know what? I'll hype myself up.
I was hoping you would.
Okay. One time at my job, a guest, because I was working valet, and a guest left their wallet in a cab.
Oh, okay.
And he came out the next day and was very upset that he left his wallet.
Naturally.
I said, sir, I'm going to find you that wallet. And he said, I would be very grateful if you did.
True Detective Season 3.
Yeah.
Starring Matt Baker.
Spoiler alert for Season 3. It's just going to be me sitting in the bed talking to my wife for an hour, and no one's going to know what's going on. I looked on the cameras at work. I called the cab company a bunch of times and put together this whole thing. And I ended up finding the wallet.
Wow.
And sending it back to the guy.
Wow.
Because the guy had pictures of his kids in there. I did look through the wallet.
Of course.
He had a ticket to an NBA Finals game.
Oh, wow.
And
this past year, the Warriors-Cavs?
Warriors-Cavs.
Wow, that's so pertinent.
Yeah.
Your Good Samaritan story has finals tickets in it? This is amazing. Yeah.
And he had a whole bunch of stuff. He just wanted the wallet back because of the stuff inside.
Yeah.
And the best part was he called the hotel to tell everyone how great I am. I keep trying to tell people how great I am, but they never...
Falls on deaf ears.
Yeah, no one ever took me seriously. And he wrote a review about the hotel on TripAdvisor and said, "I once again believe in the good of mankind, and I'm encouraged for the future of my children, thanks to the hotel's decision to hire Matt." So my Good Samaritan story involves me protecting the future of America because I am look out for the kid. I love the kids, Bob. That's
what
I've been telling
you. Yeah,
people.
You got to play them.
Everything I do is for the kids. Even give them money to get magazines I never received.
On the next episode of Brick House.
They've got a new contract, new $80 million point guard on this next team being previewed by Brickhouse. And I bet a lot of you NBA fans may have never even heard of him before. New $80 million man. And no, his contract certainly got John Wall's attention, who is considered the standard of $80 million point guards prior to this new contract. But we won't tell you who it is. You have to listen to the next episode of Brick House to find out when we break down the 20th best team in the NBA.